chapter 1. Why don't you stand with me, please? In verse number 18, and we're going to read 18 through 25. And the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for God's word. We thank you that we can believe it and read it and apply it to our lives. And I thank you that the God in heaven sent his son to be our Savior because we are sinners and we needed that. And you rescued us. And this morning we're going to celebrate in that truth. I pray that we'll leave better than we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last time I spoke a couple of weeks ago, of course, Wendell was here last week. The crux of my message was the observation to me. It's amazing to me that God created us knowing that we would be a failure. He created us knowing that he would have to rescue us. He created us knowing that he would have to send his son to die for us, and he did it anyway. I'm very humbled by that. This morning we continue on in the Christmas story. Obviously, Jesus' birth was announced by angels. The shepherds were invited to the ceremony because we would know that later on the commoner people heard him gladly, and the shepherds were the common people of the day. And then obviously there are people that seek him, and wise men still seek him. But obviously several things took place on the birth of Christ. And this morning in our text in Matthew chapter 1, the virgin birth is what's being emphasized here. It's critical to understand that part and to recognize it's a pivotal truth in what you and I believe, because we had to have the virgin birth for a sinless Savior to come into the world. Number one, his birth was of the Spirit. In verse number 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," or it went in this way. "When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together," in other words, before they knew each other physically, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Matthew takes great pain in making sure that we don't miss this point, that Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now all this was done that might be fulfilled. Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a son." All of those things are emphasized that you and I can see that. For him to be sinless, he had to have a heavenly father. No earthly father can have a sinless child. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." And you've heard me talk about this many times here from this pulpit, that sin comes from your dad. My children are sinners because they are my kids. They get their sin from me. My wife is a sinner because she has a dad. She gets her sin from her father. And the cycle was broken with Jesus Christ because he did not have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father. I always thought about, wouldn't it be neat to take a blood sample of Jesus to see what that blood was like? Wouldn't it have been cool to do a DNA analysis on Jesus Christ? Because it would be like no other. And obviously, his dad was his heavenly father. It needed to be established for those that would listen that he was not just an illegitimate child. And I don't want you to lose Matthew chapter 1 because we'll be back in it, but go with me, if you will, to John chapter 8. You know, the nastiness of public politics is something that they say nowadays, boy, it's never been like this before. And I just think that we have very short memories, because the nastiness that goes on in the public arena has always been there. It's always been like that. It's just, it seems like it's covered more now than in the past. And depending on who our leaders are, our media will decide whether they want to cover it or whether they don't. Right now, they just love covering it. In previous administrations, they didn't talk about it so much, but it's always been there. And it goes clear back, and it's before the time of Christ, but in the time of Christ, Jesus' birth was controversial. And if you look it with me in John chapter 8, and there's just the narrative in the first part of John chapter 8 is that they found a woman taken in adultery. How convenient. That story has always amazed me, and we won't talk about it this morning, but isn't it interesting that they were able to catch them in the very act? And I personally think that that was a setup, that they needed someone to take Jesus down, and they entrapped this poor woman and drug her in front of Christ so that they could catch him condemning her to death. And obviously, it did not go according to plan. But if you go on later in the chapter, let's pick it up in verse number 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Don't miss that. Shall die in your sins. The worst thing that can happen to any person that has ever breathed the breath of life is to die in your sins. That means you're going off into a Christless eternity. You don't want that to happen. Verse number 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, ye can't come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I'll stop for just a second and say I have phases that I go through. For a while, I just loved Blue Bunny ice cream, vanilla. It's just terrific. I've gotten away from that now, thankfully. I'll have different phases where I've tried certain things, and I'll come to you and I'll recommend them, and I want you to try them. I have a phase that I haven't gotten through. Ruth McDougal makes this meat pie that's just absolutely incredible. And I'll never tire of that thing. At Christmas time, she always makes us one. And she's one of my favorite people in the whole world. So there are some things you don't get. But right now, the thing that I'm in cryptograms. You know, those little puzzles that you get into. They're addictive. And now you can go online. And if you print them off, you have to fill in every letter. But if you're doing it online, when you choose a letter, it fills in that letter on the whole puzzle. And it's really, and I've gotten into that stuff. And so what they do is they take sayings of famous individuals, and they apply them, and then they'll tell you who the author was, and you can read a little bit about them. One saying was from an individual. He said, I am an idealist. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm sure it'll work out. And I thought, pal, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you don't know where you're going, it will not work out. Because heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. And if you're not prepared and you don't know where you're going, or if you wonder where you're going, chances are you've not solidified your trip. And I thought to myself, that guy, obviously he would be dead and gone now. Ideally, that didn't work out. And Jesus said, you're going to die in your sins. And he was telling these folks, I am from above. I am not of this world. In verse 24, I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then if you go on a little bit further, Jesus' birth, as we know from the Christmas story, was controversial. He was born of a virgin. He had no earthly father. But folks, if you'll be honest, I would have to think that if I saw a young woman running around and she was pregnant, not married, I would have to say that sin probably took place. That would be a natural assessment. This had never happened before and has never happened since. And so as they're looking at Mary, the birth of Christ was controversial, and that controversy never went away. Go with me now to John chapter 8 and verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were of Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Now let me tell you, this confrontation is nasty. Jesus said, ye do the deeds of your father. Verse 41. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have our father, even God. What they were saying to him was, I remember your birth. We weren't born. I know who my daddy is. You don't know who your father is. They were saying you were an illegitimate child. 30-some years later, they're still talking about his birth. Jesus said unto him, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Verse 44 is one of the strongest confrontations recorded in the Bible. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Ouch. There, take that. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but truth can be somewhat controversial. Just because it's true, even in Christian circles, is not readily accepted. And I found that as we present the gospel of Jesus Christ as lovingly and truthfully as we possibly can, there are people that are just not willing to listen. And Jesus recognized, if you would hear me, if you would listen to me. In other parts of the New Testament, he says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. If you've got ears, did they not have ears? Were they born without ears? Of course they had ears. But have you ever noticed sometimes when you're talking, no one's listening? Especially if it's kids. Hello? This is Dad speaking. Hello? Well, let me tell you something. Hello, this is Jesus speaking. And when he talks, remember the old E.F. Hutton ad? You've got to be older to remember this stuff. When E.F. Hutton talks, they're in this room and there's a crowd of people. And these two are having a conversation. And there's this buzz going on in the room. And the one individual says to the other, he says, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, you could hear a pin drop in the room because they heard E.F. Hutton was going to say something. And they wanted to hear what E.F. Hutton had to say. And it was a great ad. I loved it. Boy, wouldn't it be great when we said, well, my Savior is Jesus Christ. And Jesus, wouldn't it be great if instantly people listened? But you know what? When you start quoting, in this day and age in 2018, when you start quoting, well, the Bible says, or my Savior says, or dare I say, Jesus says, boy, you say the word Jesus, and all of a sudden, ears are turned off. People walk away. Why? Because they don't have ears to hear. An old friend, let me tell you something. Please, please listen to the words of Christ in your lifetime, because you'll have all eternity to think about it if you don't. But on the other hand, for all eternity, you and I can celebrate that we did hear. So obviously, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. And he confronted them, and the deeds of your father you will do. We be not born of fornication. So obviously, it needed to be established for those that would listen that Jesus was not an illegitimate child. He was born of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit. And his birth created a predicament. And before I go to that, I don't know if you've noticed or not, there was an article out this week that I want Todd Starnes referenced it in his program. And this is just so amazing to me. I'll share it with you if you've not heard it already. A professor at Minnesota State University, Mankato, has accused Almighty God of sexually assaulting Mary. The virgin birth, quote, is about an all-knowing, all-powerful deity impregnating a human teen, Dr. Eric Sprankle wrote on Twitter. There is no definition of consent that would include that scenario. Happy holidays, unquote. Sprankle, who teaches psychology in the taxpayer-funded school, is also a sex therapist. Clearly, he's not a theologian. Dr. Robert Jeffers says, Dr. Sprankle's comments are nothing but blasphemous babble from a liberal who is completely ignorant of the Bible. Jeffress, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas and a Fox News contributor, said the Gospel of Luke records Mary's hymn of praise, thanking God for choosing her to give birth to Messiah. And boy, that is the truth. What an honor that Mary got to do. What an honor it is that you and I, when God chooses us, we get to serve him. And I just want you to know that the sovereignty of God does not have to ask permission for anything that he does in our lives. But that's the ridiculous. Dr. Ergen Kaner says, it comes as no surprise that a radical leftist professor with little knowledge of the scripture would make such an imbecilic statement. Welcome to the modern university system where statements easily demonstrated as false are now mainstream. And that's the truth. Jeffress goes on to say that the renowned pastor warned that the professor had better pray that there is no God, because if there is, his goose is cooked on Judgment Day. And I like that. So I just, it's incredible in this day and age that we live in, the things that are said about the gospel story, and obviously in this Me Too movement, that was a whole different topic altogether. So obviously, Mary was a wonderful individual that said, be it done unto me according to thy word. And the angel said unto her, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored, blessed is the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. So that's what we know about Mary, virgin birth, used of the Lord. What do we know about Joseph? Well, Joseph was a just man. He wanted to bring someone home to the family for the family to meet, and it was going to be Mary. And what do we know about marriage back then? Well, marriage was, in that day, and even in some countries of the world today, this still happens, that marriage is an arrangement. There's the arrangement, there's the engagement, and then there's the marriage. So the arrangement is that the parents get together, and I talked to one of the young men in church this morning. I asked how old he was. He says he's 9. I won't point him out. And I know that my daughter Katie is 10. So what would happen is I would go to that family, and he looks like a fine young man, and I'm hoping that he loves the Lord, and he's going to make a lot of money. That's what I'd want for my daughter, okay? So we would go, and we'd meet, the two families would talk, and the arrangement would be made. Really, whether they're part of it or not really doesn't matter. The arrangement is made, that boy is going to marry my daughter, and they carry on in life until the time comes that the engagement should take place. Then when the engagement takes place, once you're engaged, pretty much you don't come together in marriage, but once you're engaged, you're done. You don't break off that engagement, you're done. Okay, here our engagements come and go and different things. It's completely different in society today than it was back then. But Mary was espoused. She was engaged to Joseph, and those two were a recognized couple. That's a done deal. Well, before they were married, the news came out that she's with child. Oh, my word. Joseph, I can't imagine the angst that he would have gone through and the horrible thoughts that you would have thought about this girl that he thought he knew, that now he doesn't think he... Ever hear something about someone and you thought, I thought I knew them? Did you ever think that? Did you ever hear something? I thought I knew them. Might be someone you're going to church with. You might hear something about me someday, doubtful. But you'd say, well, I thought I knew them. I thought I knew him. He was my pastor. He's an idiot. That would probably be true, okay? But it's every now and then we have a revelation about someone that we had no idea about. And that's what happened with Joseph. That's his bride, and she's pregnant, and what is going on? And he's wrestling with these things. And so what did Joseph do? Well, obviously, what do we know about marital relations? Deuteronomy chapter 22, this is what Joseph knew. In Deuteronomy 22, he said, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then she shall bring them both out of the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. Ooh. Take them out, get a pile of rocks, go at it. Hello, Dolly. That's judgment. That's what Joseph is saying. That's what we do with someone that's like this. And I don't know who the father is, but this is my girl. And not only was Mary the greatest woman alive, Joseph could have been the greatest young man alive. What did he do? Well, what he didn't do is go get advice from the boys. Isn't that what we do nowadays, guys? We go tell everybody else. Stop that. Or talk to every Tom, Dick, and Harry about his unfaithful fiance. You know, sometimes one of the worst things that happens in a marriage that's going awry isn't the marriage going awry. It's all the talk by the spouses, the two individuals, with all their friends and neighbors and family, so that you've created such a chaos. Everybody's picking sides about what's going on, and now you get to a point where your pride is so involved in this, you can't fix it because you've already chosen the soldiers to fight on your side. If there's trouble going on in your home, keep it as small as possible. Seek godly counsel and don't tell anyone outside of that very small circle that you're going to have. If you'll do that, there's a real good chance that marriage can be saved. But if you don't, well, good luck. And I'm not much on luck. But he didn't go blab about it. He didn't go talk to the boys. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, while he thought on these things, the best thing we could do is just kind of ponder. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Joseph pondered. He got alone with God, got in the right frame of mind. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be careful for nothing," or "don't worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So what he did is he talked to the Lord about it, and the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, you and I don't need dreams today. I'm real careful about someone says. Now, I do know that dreams are taking place now. Some of the greatest visions and dreams that are taking place now are in areas without God's word. You and I have God's word. Let's be real careful about this. I get real nervous about it. I can remember when I was in high school, I met this Pentecostal girl. She says to me, "You ever had a vision?" She says, "I got a Bible." She says, "No, boy, a vision is, oh, Stanley, a vision is so wonderful. You need to pray for a vision." And I'm thinking, lady, you're a whack job. But anyway, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. This is on tape. I shouldn't have said that. But I've got God's word. Through God's word, he reveals to us what we need to know. Now, you get over in the Middle East, in such a godless area, and God will, no man will die with an excuse. And God is appearing to some of those folks over in the Middle East in dreams and visions, and they are coming to Christ, and it's an incredible story. But my point is that that's what happened. God wanted to make sure that Joseph did the right thing, and he appeared to him, spoke to him in a vision. While he was sleeping, he woke up and knew what he was supposed to do. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for an answer from God, you don't need a vision, but you do need to get quiet and alone, seek godly counsel, seek God's word, and he will reveal to you. And if you can't come up with the answer that you're looking for, or you don't seem to be getting an answer, and I've shared this many times, a lot of times I'm looking for a decision in my life, and if God doesn't seem to answer that, all I do is just keep serving him. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep being faithful to God. And whatever he wants from you, whether he shows you or not, just be busy serving him and you'll be okay. And so obviously God revealed to Joseph what he needed to do. And his birth was necessitated by special revelation. So obviously it was a miraculous birth. It was a birth that was revealed. And his birth was necessitated by a special revelation. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 1, go back with me and we'll be finished. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 to 23. And we'll bring this to a close. And I want to share something with you. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 to 23. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." One of the greatest verses in the Bible, Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. Say that with me, God with us. Now, there's a difference between religion and a relationship. Now, this, let me tell you something. Don't get, we, and I like it. People will say, well, I'm not a religious person. Well, religion is not what it's about, but obviously, we practice religion. I mean, this is a religious building. I'm not going to say it's not. Don't get me wrong. We come to church on Sundays. We sing God's songs. And we can't say it's not a religion. It is. But on the other hand, it's much more. If you're looking for religion, religion is man's effort to get to God. And whatever religion you want to choose, it all comes down to how good can you be? How hard can you work? How much can you sacrifice? Doesn't matter if it's a Hare Krishna or a Mormon or whoever it is. How hard can you work? I was talking to a Mormon lady years ago when she was my age, and I was trying to get her to come to our Baptist church, and she was trying to get me to go to her Mormon church. And so we're going back and forth, and I says, so you know that you're going to heaven? Absolutely. How do you know? Well, I said, how do you get there? And she said, well, you got to work, work, work. Really? You got to work, work, work. Well, I'll tell you, my Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I said, where's that come from? She said, well, you know, I want to make sure I get to the right heaven because there's three heavens. And if I don't get to the really good heaven, then you know, it's just, huh? People are very confused about religion. Emmanuel, God with us. Man can try to get to God, but God says, I know you can't do that. I'm coming down to you. And he left his throne of glory, and he came down, and he walked among us and lived among us so that we could see him, feel him, touch him. When you see Jesus, you see God. And he dwelt, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I was thinking this week, we'll bring it to a close with this. I believe the Bible. I believe in Jesus Christ. But I'll make it even more simple than that. I believe in heaven and I believe in hell. I believe they're both real. I don't have all the answers on heaven. And I don't have all the knowledge of hell. But what I know about hell, I choose to go to heaven. It's not that difficult, folks. Okay? So, if you're an idealist and you think it's all going to work out and you don't know where you're going, I know where you're going. You're going to hell. So, Stan, that's not popular. I don't like what you're saying. You know what? Sometimes speaking the truth is not very well accepted. And I understand, well, that's not nice. That's not right. Be kind. I'm being as kind as I possibly know how because I'm trying to keep you from going where you do not want to go, but somebody's got to say so. And in our polite society, in our political correctness, we say, oh, we don't want to go there. Let's not offend anyone. And so we do a lot of backslapping and how you doing and how's Christmas and all that. Did you get anything for your wife? No, I can't afford to. And all those things, all that conversation goes on. And it's all a bunch of fun. But the reality of it is God came down to man so I could have eternal life. That's what Christmas is about. And if we're not talking about that, then we are politely letting people die and go to hell. I don't want to be a part of that. Okay? So, do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I choose heaven. How do I get there? By trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he's the best friend I've ever had. And shame on me when I don't talk about him more. Heavenly Father, we love you. We believe in you. And you are not popular in the United States of America in 2018. They want to shut down your cross. They want to tear it out of society. They don't want a manger scene put in the public square. Like Herod, we're looking for some way to kill you. And Lord, we used to blow hot air and talk about how not on my watch, but the reality of it is happening on our watch. And it seems like there's fewer and fewer people that have ears to hear what you're saying. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, I pray today that every person in this room at some point in their life has said, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior. With heads